Ho fucking ho. Hey, what's up there, Stubble Mick? Yeah, huh? You happy, right? Good, Tuna Puss. Merry fucking Christmas. You listening to Modest Joint, you silly bastards. He uses all kinds of profanity, this guy. So if you're under 18, never heard a bad word, you're probably a virgin and a fucking nerd. So turn this crap off and get back in Bible school, fucknuts.
There you are. Another fucked up disclaimer. This is your host that never boasts, Michael Modest. And you are listening to Modest Joint. For questions, comments, or death threats, email me at michael.modest@gmail.com or hit me up on myspace.com/Michael Modest. This is it, folks, the Big Christmas Show, Season's Beatings. This week, this is what I got for you. A couple of ads, a couple of different commercials. I am flipping out over what Bill Barron said on his last show. So I'm going to briefly comment about that. Also, I'm going to tell you how to see the very first ever Modest Joint. I will have my top 10. Plus, my very special guest this week is Stevie Richards. My tag partner for life, Donovan Morgan, will be conducting the interview. So this week, Modest Joint will be a two-part. I guess you could call the second part of the joint the roach, if you like. I had some great guesses on the website or on my email as to who my guest was going to be. Superstar Billy Graham, Jake the Snake Roberts, Roddy Piper, even A.J. Petruzzi. How do my five clues apply to Stevie Richards? Well, he is a real American. Two, he did work for WWE and doesn't anymore. Three, he is like 6'4", 6'6", has a great build, tan, charisma. Really, the guy is a total package who I feel was entirely underutilized in WWE. As long as he was there, I just don't think they ever got the maximum potential out of him that they could have. Four, I asked him if he knew anything about pythons, and he said yes, they were big snakes that asphyxiate their prey, so he did know a little something about pythons. Finally, he is not married, so all the clues fit. I did not bait and switch you. If you're listening to Modest Joint, be happy. Stevie Richards is a hell of a great guest, and I'll tell you what, he's one of the greatest, nicest guys I've ever met in this business. All right, so time flies when you're having fun. We've already come to my first commercial. Here it is. I hope you enjoy it. There's a new pet. Get Michael Modest Chia, the pottery that grows. It's easy. Just soak your Modest Chia in alcohol. Spread the magic seeds and watch it grow. You might even get a pound. And now, grow and manage your own wrestling stable with Stone Cold Chia, Iron Sheik Chia, Chris Daniels Chia, and the Kurt Angle Chia. There's even a Chia wrestling ring so you can be the Chia Booker. Get your Modest Chia at these fine stores. Thrifties, Cheech and Chong's Drugs, Get Trampled Mart, and the gas was so high we raised our food prices and now we won't drop them because we found out you will pay $5 for Bread Mart. Modest Chia is a great gift. Get yours today. So there you go. Modest Chia, wow. I'm going to have to get one of those. I hope someone bought me one of those for Christmas. Next, we're going to talk about how you can see the very first ever Modest Joint. Check it out at web.mac.com/Iron Raymond. That's web.mac.com/Iron Raymond. Plus, on this, you can see the first Modest Joint, but you can also see the documentary where he broke his nose against Donovan Morgan, that stiffy bastard. The Modest Joint is, I thought, pretty decent. It's got a shoot interview with some of the fans. They were helping us with some of the co-promoting, some of the fans. And so I did kind of a shoot interview and just directed it at all the fans in general, but it was really at a few people. Also, I slapped my guest, and it was brutal. So check it out. Again, that address, web.mac.com/Iron Raymond. Here is the second commercial. Now, the thing is the part where I am speaking during the commercial, where it's actually me, that is all true. So you'll want to hear this. It's about a very serious issue something that's happening in our country right now that, anyways, it's a good thing to listen to. Check it out. Have you been physically or emotionally injured while you were wearing beer goggles?
Hi, I'm Fester Klebinski, attorney at law, and I will fight for you. Alcohol companies have always warned about the dangers of drunk driving, but they have been irresponsible in warning the public about the very real dangers of wearing beer goggles. Beer goggles, originally designed sometime before the birth of Jesus Christ, were designed to protect men and women from the adverse effects of having sex with someone who you wouldn't normally even look at. Listen to this testimony by pro wrestler Michael Modest.
Oh, God, yeah. Oh, man, one night, you know, I wanted to play some Bangladeshian pool. It's different than regular pool because instead of trying to get your balls in the hole, the object is to get your stick in the hole. But anyways, so I put on my beer goggles, you know, for safety. The next morning, I woke up with a 53-year-old cougar in my bed. Her teeth shimmered in the water glass next to the bed. I had pink eye, and she smelled gamey, which offended me on multiple levels. As if that wasn't bad enough, she started speaking. Talking. The shrill of the harpy made my ears bleed. She spoke of the movie Men in Black and how it was a true story. Earth is an airport, she told me, a kind of rest stop for intergalactic alien travelers. So she was a fucking nut as well. Now I am plagued with horrifying memories of that terrible night. Beer goggles almost ruined my life. Don't let it ruin yours.
So, if you were wearing beer goggles when you met that Brimelow that you call a wife, call the law offices of Gotcher, Monet, and Wren. Tell them Festa sent you. We won't take a dime from you unless your claim is settled. Because lawyers are like that. We just like doing shit for free, you know, to help people. Yeah, we like to help. Trust us. Just want to help. Money? Ah, who needs it? We just want to help. Trying to get into heaven, you know, good deeds. Yeah, good deeds. Trust me. That call now.
So there you go, my second ad. You know, it's amazing to me how those lawyers, they all want to help you for free. Hey, man, we won't charge you a dime unless your claim's settled. What they neglect to tell you is you'll get like 10% of your claim. Anyways, so now I'm going to move on to Bill Barron's. This is, you know, I listened to Bill Barron's segment this week. I like Bill very much, and I respect him and his opinions. But he's lost his fucking mind. He starts off by talking about, you know, how TNA is starting their hour with talking and says they should start with action or something that will hook the viewer and keep them long enough so that the viewer is tracked for ratings. Now, I agree with that 100%. In fact, I have been saying that since the very first Modest joint. Go check it out, people. Go back and listen to my very first one. So this is not rocket science. No duh. No shit. This is not, it doesn't take a genius to understand, people. Viewers from the word go are looking for pro wrestling. That's why they tune in. They are not looking for a talk show. They are not looking for gymnastics. But damn it. Then Bill goes on to say that TNA needs to be more spotty. Now what the fuck? How in the name of all that is holy could TNA possibly be more spotty? I watched a three-way match with Samoa Joe, Christian Cage, and Kurt Angle. It was the three-way match from 2007. I can't even remember the name of the event. But it was from 2007. And man, I dare you. I double dog dare you to find me a heavyweight title match that is more spotty than that one. TNA started spotty, and it is still spotty. It is the same as it's always been from the conception of the show. Shit. Lucha motherfucking Libre shows I have seen are not as spotty as TNA. TNA has plenty of spots. They do plenty of them. And then on the opposite side, sometimes they bring in guys that are past their prime, pay them more than they're worth. And now I'm not saying they shouldn't be paid well, but let's face it. TNA has become a cash cow for a privileged few. Listen close, Dixie Carter. Wrestling management, open your fucking ears, jackasses. TNA already has a 17-sided fucking ring. They are doing enough spots. They have tried all the flying monkey, gymkata, gymnastics. They have tried all the talking until their faces are blue. Try wrestling. You know, Ultimate Fighting is making big money right now in Japan and the U.S., and it's hurting the professional wrestling business. You are losing fans by the quarter hour. The public is telling you in no uncertain terms that they want a little more realism in their professional wrestling. Now, we all know shoot fighting is a work on certain levels, but a lot of it is real. Bring more realism to professional wrestling and you're going to have a better product. You know, I remember watching Bret Hart at the Arco Arena when I was 16 years old and I was an amateur wrestler. And I saw Bret do this lazy ass switch. He just kind of lazily, nonchalantly threw his hand back there, barely touched the guy's leg, and then just kind of the guy let him go and he, you know, switched around on him. And I thought, man, that is not how you do a switch. If he tried that on me, I'd take his ass down. If that's all he's got, I could probably beat Bret Hart. Yes, high spots are important. Spotty wrestlers have their place, just like Rey Mysterio has his place in the WWE. But John Cena is not running around doing 5,001 high spots. He wrestles with charisma. That is all. And that is what is missing right now. Lucha Libre would get over in certain areas of the country with high Hispanic population. But I don't think Florida is the spot. And besides, you need luchadors, not guys like Samoa Joe and Angle, if you're going to try to draw a Mexican fan base that likes that type of wrestling. Now, I know and realize fully that there are a lot of smart marks out there saying, you know, well, I love to see, you know, wrestlers go 2 million miles an hour and do 43 finishing moves or spots, you know, so that when they fuck up, I can chant, "You fucked up! You fucked up!" and show everyone in the crowd that I am smart to the biz. Well, Smart Mark Jabron, you are not fucking special anymore. And you are still a small percentage of the wrestling fans. And that's not to say that most wrestling fans don't know it's a work. I'd say 90 to 93% of the general wrestling fan populace knows that it's entertainment just like you. But they are a little more normal in the fact that they don't give a shit what John Cena had for breakfast. They tune in. They want to escape reality a little bit, but they don't want to watch cartoons. They don't want to watch cartoons and talk shows. If you insult their intelligence, they will tune out right away. There are too many good things to watch on TV, and they are very accessible. And most of what is on television right now, in case you haven't noticed, is at least partially real. So pay attention. Good storyline, in and out of the ring. Good believable storyline. Good solid wrestling. Sure, some terrific high spots. But too many is too many. I told Terry Taylor before, man, I think watching Jeff Jarrett do a contract negotiation with a wrestler that was coming into the company, I thought that would be far more entertaining than some of the shit they were putting on. And Bill, God knows I'm not yelling at you, man. I got the utmost respect for you. But, man, it did surprise me that you said that. And but I will tell you what, you said some things that I really agree with, and you represent tons of talent that I really admire and I really respect in this business. And I want to talk about one of the guys that Bill Barons also mentioned, Amazing Red. Now, this guy's just fantastic as far as the high-flying, and he's a perfect example of somebody like a Rey Mysterio that yes, he has to base his wrestling style off of lots of high-flying, lots of stuff, because in order to be competitive against a bruiser like me, you better do something fancy. Because if I get my fucking hands on you, I'm going to suplex you into the fucking mat. But I wanted to talk a little bit about Red because, you know, he did suffer a very brutal injury. You know, and I wanted to talk about the psychological impact of injury that has on wrestlers, you know. Guys like Shane Helms, Stone Cold Steve Austin, who have returned from fairly serious injuries. You know, I mean, you're talking about first they have to go through months and months, if not years of rehab. You know, and now they have that constant thought, fuck. I am not invincible. I can get hurt, seriously injured. And the first time returning to the ring, that is something that freaks you out. Also, man, you worry about, like, with me, it was my right knee was a bad, you know, bad area for me. I hurt my knee at one time, and when I came back from that injury, it was scary. And, you know, I kind of didn't trust the knee yet. Plus, you worry about, have I lost my touch? Will the crowd accept me? Will I get the same push from the company that I was getting before? And then finally, there's no safety nets in this business. If you get hurt, man, you're on your own. So I'm hoping that Red, from what I understand, he's actually bulked up a little bit. His body is better than ever. And he's cut his hair, and I can't wait to see him in action. If you are interested in booking the amazing Red, and I guarantee that if you book this guy, you will not be sorry. Give Bill Behrens an email at showbiz@aol.com. That's showbiz@aol.com. Bill represents lots of great talent, April Hunter, Daisy Hayes, AJ Styles, lots of great talent. Drop Bill a line. All right, so we're almost at the end of my portion of the show. Make sure, after you tune off here, you go to the part two and check out the interview with Stevie Richards being done by Donovan Morgan. This is my top 10 list, and this is my top 10 unknown facts about Santa Claus. Things about Santa Claus that maybe you don't know or you haven't realized or thought about. Okay, the top 10 fact about Santa is Santa doesn't give a shit about you. The number 9 fact, the reason Santa is always portrayed as a fat guy is because he is a gluttonous corporate demon who eats about a gajillion cookies a night, let alone 1,000 gallons of milk. Thousands, I should say. Number 8 unknown fact about Santa Claus. Santa Claus, or Satan Claus, wears a suit of white and red to represent the fire and smoke that your greedy ass will have to deal with as you burn in the bowels of hell. Number 7 unknown fact about Santa. The elves represent the little man, the blue-collar workers that work for the big corporations, the corporate slaves, if you will. Number 6 unknown fact. The reason Santa is always bellowing, ho, 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 is to represent the fact that, yes, he is the elf pimp. Number 5 unknown fact. Santa does have a pipe, but he ain't smoking tobacco. Number 4 unknown fact about Santa Claus. Out of the 2.5 billion minors or children in the world today, Santa luckily only has to deliver presents to about 93.5 million children that are Christian or have Christian influence in their culture or country because we went over there and conquered their savage asses. Luckily, he doesn't have to make deliveries in war-torn countries or third world countries or places like Darfur, where the children are hacking up people with machetes and toting machine guns. Santa just skips those spots altogether. So a lot of people have said to me, you know, if Santa wasn't real, how could he, you know, I mean, if he was real, how could he do that, you know, deliver to all those homes? Well, it's not 2.5 billion homes. It's just 93.5 million kids that he's got to deal with. The number three unknown fact about Santa Claus.
Santa's reindeer are retired. Santa now uses UPS, FedEx, and does most of his shopping online with a click. Number two unknown fact, Santa's elves are all starving since most of Santa's manufacturing jobs have moved to China and Japan now. And the number one unknown fact about Santa Claus, Santa doesn't give a shit that there is lead in the toys. As long as he gets cheap labor, no hassles from OSHA or environmental agencies or unions, Santa can keep selling his toys right here in the United States for 200% profit. He's fine with that. He doesn't give a shit if your kids get sick and die. So that's it. I kind of wanted to end on a very light note, and so I think I did with that top 10. Thanks, everyone, for listening. I hope you tune into the second part. And I want you to tune into all of the segments of Who's Slamming Who. Make sure you check out the interview with the WWE heavyweight champ, John Cena, on John Cena Sr.'s segment. Special thanks to Donovan Morgan and Stevie Richards for making this a most excellent show. Email me at michael.modest@gmail.com or get in touch with me on myspace.com/michaelmodest. Merry Christmas to all, and to all a good night. Ho, ho, ho. Oh, and wrestling is hardcore.